French supermarkets call out shrinkflation. Hello, you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes stepping in for Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Have you noticed products that you buy becoming smaller while the price remains the same? That's called shrinkflation, and it's a common strategy companies use to decrease their costs. Now, one of the biggest supermarkets in France, Carrefour, has put warning labels on such goods. It says it wants to help shoppers, but the move is also intended to pressure suppliers like Unilever and Nestlé to rethink their pricing. From Paris, here's the BBC's Hugh Schofield.
In these times of very high inflation, a very interesting phenomenon here in France, the giant supermarket chain Carrefour, one of the biggest in the country, is sticking it to the food industry in a very public way. We're in the soft drinks section, and next to a quite well-known brand of soft drink, there is a sign that says shrinkflation. This product has seen its quantity go down while the tariff you pay for what it contains has gone up. In other words, you are paying the same or more and you're getting less.
I think it's a great initiative. It's important to inform the consumers about what is happening so they can make informed choices.
It's great that Carrefour are doing this. Life is very expensive now, so if I see the price of something going up while the quantity goes down, I'm not going to buy it.
Now, the food industry has pointed out that the number of products singled out by Carrefour for this treatment is actually tiny, which is perfectly true. Rather more pointedly, a consumer affairs group has accused the supermarket of hypocrisy. That 99-cent bag of potatoes in the cut price section still costs 99 cents, but there are now rather fewer potatoes inside it. In Paris, I'm the BBC's Hugh Schofield for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The UK's FTSE 100 hit a more than three-month high this morning as mining stocks gained on the back of better-than-expected economic data from China. Factory output and retail sales there grew at a faster pace in August, raising hopes the Chinese economy may be stabilising. That's prompted some investment banks to raise their forecasts for China's GDP growth this year, but analysts warn problems in the embattled property sector are continuing. The UN says two rival governments in Libya are coordinating relief efforts for flood victims in the city of Derna after the disaster left at least 11,000 people dead. Both the eastern and western governments have requested international aid. The BBC's correspondent Anna Foster is in Benghazi.
In the days after a catastrophe on the scale of this one, you'd normally expect to see huge amounts of aid really pouring in. I remember seeing it very quickly after the earthquake in Turkey and Syria just over 6 months ago. But the airport in Benghazi here today, while there has been some activity, some international teams arriving, it is really not the hive that you would expect and that this country needs. And this country with its infrastructure that is so ravaged by more than a decade now of conflict, a country which doesn't have a single functioning government, is in no position to try and deal really with the scale of the disaster that now faces it.
Anna Foster. It's Friday, which means for many of us, thoughts are already turning to the weekend. But how do you have a night out in a war zone? Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine a year and a half ago, and Ukrainians have had to change every part of their lives to deal with the assault. That includes how they spend their downtime. The BBC's Toby Luckhurst reports from a Friday night out in Kyiv.
Our first stop is a place called Abo. It started a year ago as a record shop, but it's now grown into a bar, a club, a hangout place. There are people playing table tennis, drinking with friends, smoking, enjoying their Friday nights. We're going to speak to one of the co-founders, Amir, about why they set their spot up during the war.
It was to support local people, local artists. It's like the time when our neighbors, they like destroying our country daily, you know, and no time to wait until it's finished to rebuild, you know. So it's like really time to do something right now, because like they're destroying, we're building.
We've just left Abo. It's starting to get quite busy. More and more groups are arriving and crowding around the bar. But we're on a tight schedule. Under wartime rules, all bars, clubs and restaurants have to shut here at 10 p.m. You can't sell alcohol after that time either. So we're heading now to a bar called Vernissage, which I'm told is an iconic Kyiv night spot.
Vernissage is the best place.
It's a grungy, graffitied bar that only sells beer and cider. It's a sign saying that no vodka will ever be sold here. That hasn't dampened the fun. Everyone here seems very merry.
What do you do when everything closes? Do you go to someone's house? Do you drink in the street?
Komendantska godina, I don't know how to say it properly in English.
Yaroslav is talking about the wartime curfew. He tells me they respect the government rules, but he also says he's keen to travel once the war ends. As things stand, men aged 18 to 60 can't leave Ukraine without special government permission.
Yes, I want to see the world. I want to see something new. I want to...
So it's now just before 10 p.m. Vernissage has closed, and everyone's happily and quickly heading down to the metro. Although, it turns out, not home time for us. Bars and clubs have to shut at 10 p.m. You can't sell alcohol after 10 p.m. But curfew, the point when everyone has to be off the streets, is midnight here in Kyiv. Which gave us just enough time to get an invitation to a house party.
It was bottled in Bakhmut. This is one of the last bottles. It was produced the 5th of January of 2022.
We're in Konstantin's apartment, about six of us in total. He's popped a bottle of sparkling wine from Bakhmut to share with us. He's a great host. He's originally from Donetsk, and then he moved to Mariupol, and he's now settled here in the capital, Kyiv. Russia has pushed him further and further west in the last 10 years. Despite all that, he does see some positives to wartime curfews.
There is actually an entire new culture emerging of parties. You know, people don't stay overnight because of the curfews, so everything is during daytime and don't drink too much. You remember that public transport will be shut down, you have to get home somehow. It's interesting how this culture is changing.
In Kyiv, I'm the BBC's Toby Lightgerst for Marketplace.
And finally, in the past hour, the sale of the English soccer club Everton has gone through. As we reported earlier in the week, the Miami-based 777 Partners has bought the club, meaning that now half of all teams in the Premier League are owned by Americans. I'm Vivian Nunes. Leanna Byrne will be back on Monday with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.